you. Exhortation from the Word this morning with Brother Betwin Aloka, one of our elders. He'll take us to the Old Testament and to a story that we know, but perhaps some new reflections from Brother Betwin.
Morning. Is that working? Okay. But last Sunday, we were very blessed to have Brother GF challenge us to place the Lord. I still remember that. And that we are like grass, which means that life is short. Therefore, we need to make sure that our walk with God is a good walk. And today, I want to start with a story that maybe some of you have heard it many times before, but it is still really as good as new. And maybe Brother James here was part of that story, but we'll see. Anyway, around 1984, we Hussarian students at the UOG dorm were tasked to go into a spear fishing in Mariso, because that year we're going to have one of those Hussarian Christmas march, and so we were told to find some fish. So anyway, we went to Mariso and went down. And if you know about Mariso and Inaran, there's a channel. There's a river that split between Inaran and Mariso. Therefore, that river has created a very nice size channel. So we went there, and I was the stringer, which means that I was carrying the string to string the fish and also carry extra spear and things like that. And so when we were going down, everyone went real smoothly past that channel. Not me. I had a very hard time swimming and crossing that channel. And so that's started to go. I tried to swim, but it was very hard for me to swim. And so right in the middle of that channel, I gave up. I gave up. I said, Lord, I can't do it. And I used to swim back home, but that I gave up. I couldn't do it. And so I said, the Lord, if I have to go down in this channel, please let them find me so my parents can at least see my body. And so I let go of myself. I gave up because I was too tired. And so as soon as I was going down, I touched bottom of that channel. And it was such a miraculous thing, because as soon as I touched the bottom of that channel, I could feel that my nose was above water. And so I didn't die. They didn't have to come and pull my body out of the waters there. Now, my point of that story is this. That was a traumatic rescue, I believe, from the Lord. But, you know, later on in my message today, we don't go by drama to drama. Matter of fact, God is with us every single day, and each occasion is a drama in itself. And so every day I think about that. And we're going to look at a passage today that might help us to think about how God is with us every day and moment by moment. And our passage today is in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, and all the way to Exodus 14, 31. And before we go to the Lord in looking at our passage today, I will pray and ask God to guide us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you for guiding us and for leading us. And I pray that you will help us today to experience you as we walk with the Israelite in the desert, as we learn from the message today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the reading is Exodus 13, starting at 17 and throughout 14, chapter 14. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Sukkot, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptians' army and threw into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh had followed Israel into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. The title that I have for us today is I Will Be With You, Experiencing God in All Circumstances. Folks, the reading was long. The walk was long. We have to feel how it went. And in reading the passage, well, let me put it this way. I had to read the passage many times over to see what's going on here. It's not just crossing the Red Sea. It's not about going through the channel in and around Maritzo. See, when God pulled out his people from their bondage in Egypt, he had to have a long walk with them, step by step, each step of the way. Now, after Moses took the life of that Egyptian guard, he ran. He went to Midian and stayed there for 40 years. He was 40 when he moved from Egypt, stayed in Midian for 40 years, and he was 80 years old when he was challenged to take the people out of Egypt. My point here is this. God was with Moses, and he told him, I am with you. He was 80 years old, and he told him, I am with you. And that's the thought for today, that God is with us. And throughout the passage, he keep reminding them, both in word and in action, that he was with them. And remember, Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. God is always with us. And we need to fully experience. If you have received the Lord, you have to experience to know that every time you breathe your breath, God is with you. God is with you every day. Sometimes we all forget that. Many times, matter of fact. And so, let's see how God led the people and how he was with them and with us today as well. So let's go to the desert and walk with the Israelites and experience God through, number one, through his guidance. In the reading today, you have kind of feeling that this is a kind of guidance kind of passage. God has the best route for you. He has the best route for you. Doesn't matter whether the Israelites or you today. He got the best route in mind for you. It says here, when Pharaoh let the people go, that was Pharaoh. He let them go. But God did not let them through the Philistine country. Okay? God guided them through a different route. Now, what's wrong with this familiar road? We were told by history, well, now, in walking, it took less than 10 days from Ramses to the southern end of Canaan. 10 days of walk. Now, why it took 40 years? You see, in chapter 14, verse 1, God told Moses to tell the people to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Midkol and the sea. Okay? I think that was two detours. First, they were here in Ramses. Heading this way, he said, no, go back to the Red Sea, and then turn back this way between the sea and Midkol. Now, a lot of folks, scholars, think that probably that was not the Red Sea, but let's not go there. It's possible that was over 2,000 years ago. Maybe the Red Sea went as far as that end. But the point is this, God did have a detour twice. Now, that's why I want us to look at it first. Why the detour was needed when God could have cleared away. He had 10 lakes, and he's going to split the sea. Why he had to have a detour twice? Well, the detour was needed. You know, the passage says they were marching like they're going to war. They were not ready to do battle. They were slaves. When you are not ready for battle, God will not use you. You have to condition right for you to meet your enemy, your challenges. Okay? So they were not ready to do battle. And also, return to Egypt is not recommended. Now, what's wrong with returning to Egypt? A couple problems. First, they were in bondage there. Why go back to the bondage that you were before? And secondly, it is a disobedience to the message of the Passover. The Passover means you go there where there's milk and honey, and also you're going to tell your children and children's children that you were in bondage, but now you're in the promised land. Don't go back, because I spare you the dead angel, game. You put a cross of blood on the door. Why go back? You might be slaughtered too. And so it was not a good idea to go back. It's not recommended. And remember, when God had a covenant with Abraham, they were supposed to be multiplied. They did multiply in Egypt, but they were supposed to multiply and settle where? Canaan. So that was not their settling place. That was not their final place to settle. And so there were over a million citizens there, but they need to move to their promised land. Folks, life may not be very easy, maybe challenging, but easy road is not the best route. Not always. Sometimes easy road is the right road, but it doesn't always mean it's the right road. And life's challenges and detour may appear challenging, but eventually will lead us the right way. And, you know, I like this. I've been thinking about this, and I'm going to tell you this. A detour in your walk may be your best insurance policy. A detour in your life might be an insurance that fully covered whatever you need. A detour in your life might save you big time, money, troubles, and everything. So if you follow God, you will know when a detour is from the Lord. Many times we sponsor detours because we don't walk with the Lord closely. Okay? God is the only one who guides. We know that a lot of times. We say, duh. But we don't always follow the Lord. Proverbs 16:9 said that. And Psalms 119:105, is a light unto our path. And we're going to talk about that light later on. And Psalm 107:7, and he guide them right way, the right way, so as to a city to live in. God leads us to a city to live in, to the right place. Now, that was the detour. Let's move on to the next way that God guides us. God uses promise and covenant with each Israelite as a guide, as part of the trip. It's still part of the Abrahamic promise. Joseph, when he on his dying bed in Genesis 50:52, he said, God will surely come to your aid. Carry my bones wherever you go. Meaning, carry my bones to the promised land, really. Where else was he going to go? And so, God keeps his promise. He used whatever he used in the past as part of our guide. You see, if your life is struggling here, and there's a passage here, use other passages to help you guide. Don't stick with one also. Okay? Now, another way God guides his people in this passage is that through his creation. Now, soon after leaving Ramesses, God started to show up somewhat physically. He was talking to them, maybe well, through Moses and through folks there. But right now, it was really starting to appear with them very clearly in his creation through the protection from the pillar and cloud and the fire. In verse 21 of chapter 13, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Okay? So God chose his own creation to guide them. Okay? Now, where's all the boys here? I need them, but it looks like they disappeared. Anyway, whoever can make it. Oh. Okay, this is the pillar of cloud that guide the people of Israel through the desert. Now, where are the boys? Okay. Anyway, this is not really the cloud, but I just want us to think about it. This message for the kids, really. Now, if this pillar of cloud kind of moved this way, kids and all of us, the people follow that pillar of cloud, daytime cloud. Eh? And at night, it became a what, kids? That pillar of cloud became what during the nighttime? What? Oops. Low budget. Okay. It was a fire. Can you see? It's a fire. And so it was moving like this. And it's just follow me. Okay. All right. Anyway, the idea behind this is this. Wherever the towel or pillar of cloud or pillar of fire stop, they stop. And wherever it moves, they move. Okay. It's because the God used his creation. And now what does he use to guide us every day? What does he use? We don't need to have this pillar of fire. But in a way, maybe in a way it's still true. But what is that the Lord is still using today that helps us to know where to go? Now, folks, you can't really feel and know where these pillars are moving unless you walk with God closely. So what is this? How do you walk? How do you know when the pillar moves in your life today? Not just kids. How do you know what to do? Anyone? Holy Spirit. And what else you can use to help you? The scripture, right? Now, if you don't really read the scripture, you hardly come to church, which we come here to kind of feed onto the word of God. We don't really pray, and we don't nourish ourselves with the Lord. It's hard for us to follow those pillars of cloud or fire, okay? And so, that's another message, another passage, another day. But if we don't draw near to God, even though he's our guide, it looks like he's not going to draw near to us. Okay? All right. And that was kind of similar when Jesus was born. Magi from the east were following the star. They were following a bright star when they were looking for the baby Jesus. And folks, the other night, I was here at 1 o'clock. And it was a clear night. I just look at the stars. Folks, billions and billions of stars. Just seeing it. And in the middle of that night, it's a cloud just rolling through the night. Clear white cloud. And it's just sometimes we just don't think about those things. We don't think about God's creation. We just think they're just sitting out there. And yet, you know, folks, there is a reason for every single planet and star sitting out there. When there's no moon, there is no Earth. So think about that. When there is none of these, they all work together to keep us here. That's how God is very good to us in his creation. And he guides us in some way through that. Now, moving on. Second way that the Lord was clearly with the Israelites was through his deliverance. Now, God did not only provide the best route for them. He also provided the best. He provided the deliverance from the Egyptians' army. Now, it is interesting to see God wanted to be their ultimate deliverer. Now, let's look at it and see how God is their only option for deliverance. You see, it seems that El was nowhere but up when they were stuck right in front of the sea. And he placed them among the worst of obstacles. There was the Red Sea fronting them. Behind them was the powerful, mighty army with Pharaoh chasing them. And there was really heavy, like a rock set up, according to my understanding of this place. There was no way they can go to the right. And there was the sea right in front of them and the army chasing them right behind them. Unarmed, low in spirit, hopeless and confused. Folks, yesterday I went to Dankisan, the Kachang Beach, just to see if I can feel this before I come here today. I went there, and folks, if you go to the Kachang Beach in Jeonya, you can almost feel this, that the Kachang Beach has two kind of row of hill, one on the right, sheer drops, going to the beach on the left and the right, and behind you, it's like it's going downhill. If the Egyptian army was there, definitely you can't run away. And right in front of that place is the Pacific Ocean. I climb on a big rock in the water, and I look at the sea, and it was scary. Huge surfs yesterday. I sat there and pray. It was scary. We can't really blame the Israelites for being fear. They were afraid because they were trapped. Folks, a lot of times we're waiting to be trapped for us to seek the Lord. We should be seeking the Lord every day. And many of you may be in a situation like that today. Maybe your marriage in that situation where you feel like you're trapped. Maybe your life is like you're in a situation where you just feel hopeless this morning. But I just want to let you know that there is still hope. God is still our God. He's still with us. Just like when he told that 80-year-old Moses, you can still do the job. Moses said, I can't speak. Said, yes, I will speak for you. He's still with us same today. He's still with us every day, whether we're trapped or not. Okay? And I just want to share also, in 2 Chronicles, verse 20, King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by three armies from Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. He was in almost the same dilemma. There's massive armies were massing against Israel. And he had all the men, women, and children at a fast, ready to ask God to help them because of this massive army facing them. And so, for some reason, with God's reason, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against, they had a treaty, the three-nation, three-king treaty, they turned against the armies of Mount Seir. And it says they slaughtered them completely. And after they slaughtered the army of Mount Seir, what did they do? They helped themselves. I just find that very hard to understand. How did they help themselves by killing each other? They slaughtered themselves completely. And without a sword, Joseph and his people destroyed them all because of their fast and their praying. And that's what I was saying earlier, that if we let God, and I'm going to explain that later on too, when it comes to challenge to be still, that if we let God do the job, he can do it completely for you rather than having a very confused mind as to when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it. Okay? And that's what I want to share also. God is the deliverer, but he also requires our faithfulness every day. Now, this is his message to Moses, or Moses to the Israelites in terms of being faithful, wait upon the Lord. It says here in verse 13 of chapter 14, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you only to be still. God was telling Moses to tell the Israelites, I am with you. Now that's the same message that we find in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your work in the Lord is not in vain. And Isaiah 30, 15, in repentance and in rest, your salvation, in quietness, in trust, in you, strength. Being still in the Lord is developed as a result of our salvation with the Lord and being faithful in our daily walk with God. You see, we have spent less and less time with our devotions, with our time with the Lord. How can we understand when to be still? We have pretty much confined our devotion to our daily meals. We say it's time to pray when we're ready to eat. And I think we should go back and have a real devotion time, whether it's yourself or with your family. And I always believe that a family should pray together too, and it's in the Bible too. We should be, and you should take the lead. Somebody needs to take the lead. And if you're alone, take the lead in your life and do devotions too. And also in terms of faithfulness, Moses' own faithfulness. God was challenging him and asking, why are you crying? Did you see anywhere that Moses was crying? I believe Moses was praying and crying to the Lord when they were facing the Red Sea. And so, remember Moses in Exodus 3, verse 12, in that burning bush experience that God was going to be with him regardless of what's going to happen. So, God challenges Moses to be still. And facing that Red Sea, he pick up that whole dusty staff. And just, I mean, this is a guy that was very afraid of speaking in front of Pharaoh, leading a million people behind him. And so he pick up that whole shepherd's staff and it just split the sea. I mean, can you do that? I think you can. I think you can split seas nowadays. Doesn't have to split the Pacific Ocean so you can walk to Rota and get some potatoes and sweet or taro. You don't have to do that. But I believe you can. If God did it back then, I believe you can, but it doesn't work that way every day now. We need to split between our own troubles every day. That's what we that are practical every day. Okay? You can ask God to split whatever situation you're in. Okay? Now, last point I have today is that God wants to remind us about who He is. He guides us on how He is through His own glory. We have a glorious God if you have not realized that. He's a very mighty God. He's a consuming fire. Okay? In chapter 14, verse 17, later part of that verse, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army. Through his chariots, his horsemen, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his horsemen. And that's what he did. You see, Pharaoh had 10 tests by the Lord in Egypt. He did not glorify the Lord in that way. He didn't say, that's good. He let them go. He's still chasing them. And so the Lord says, I'm going to make sure that the world knows through you that I'm a glorious God. He completely destroyed that army. Now, if you notice that, they're talking about Egypt's horsemen, his chariots, and Pharaoh. Why? Because this is a mass. This is a very well-known army at that time. Chariots, good chariots, are known in battles were fought because of and won because of good chariots and good leaders. And so, God's glory came real clear when Pharaoh and his horsemen and chariots were in the bottom of the Red Sea. You didn't listen to me 10 times. I will use that as a way to glorify my name by putting you in the bottom of the sea. You and your horsemen and your chariots. Okay? Now, who has not been expressing any faith in the Lord at this point also? Not just the Pharaoh and his army. Who else have not said they fear the Lord? Who? The Israelites have never said that. So the Lord wants to bring this glory also to them. You know what happened? When they saw this massive army and the Pharaoh whom they feared so much swept into the shore, what did they say? Or what? How did they fail? They finally feared the Lord and respect Moses. They were not respecting Moses at that time. And so the Lord's glory is needed to show that he is the true God. And also, Kishu was watching and understanding about this coming glory as it moving toward the promised land. Who said this glory was coming also? Who said that? Rahab. A few years later, when the two spies went, Caleb and Joshua, what did Rahab say? Everybody here is trembling because they heard what happened, what did the Lord did to the Red Sea, and of course, what he's been doing with them. Of course, the neighbors see over 1 million people massing their way, and the sea's been split, and there's this pillar of clouds and fire and cloud was moving with them. Everybody must have been talking. Okay? And so it's good to understand that when we have the glory with us, we shouldn't worry too much. The world knows that God is powerful. Also remember when Jonah was on the boat, when he was running away from God, the sailors were really amazed. Said, God must be with you, right? Something to that effect. Because the wind stopped. So, what should we do about all this that we learned today, that we know all the time anyway? In Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, I will be with you. They will not sweep over you when you walk through the fire. You will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. God promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Zechariah 1:3, return to me, and I will return to you. Draw near to me, James 4:8, and I will draw near to you. And we later learn later on in life, the Israelites were not always drawing near to the Lord. Now, why am I bringing this? If the Lord is with us all the time, what's the problem? Well, there is a problem. He's always with us. It's us who often leave him to the other gods that are not really gods, that their cisterns were leaking, in that effect, that Jeremiah was talking, I think, in Jeremiah 2 or 3. Okay? So if we have truly have a real God, we should be drawing near to him every day. You see, I admit myself too, and I don't know about you, I just don't know why, if we are going to see God one day, why aren't we living that way? Well, if we're going to live with glory forever and ever, why aren't we drawing near to God every single day? Why is that? What's up with this glory? And I believe this glory business is really needed because it's the way of showing that we are obedient to God. And that's our way of showing our faithfulness to God. See, when you accept Jesus in your life, he truly came into your life and personally lived in you. And if you have not accepted Jesus, God is not going to walk with you every step of the way This is for Christians. When you accept Jesus in your heart, he walks with you every single day. And if you draw near to him by reading your Bible, come to church and have Bible study, he seems to, the Bible says, draw near to you. I am with you, says the Lord. And remember that when you go out into the Lord, remember that he's the one who guides you. He's the best deliverer. And we should glorify his name in all we do. Is that what we're doing every day and today, this morning? We're glorifying God. I know lives get challenging. Life can be very challenging, but I want to challenge you to take the word and take the Lord seriously. Because we never know our time. It's better for him to find us faithful when he returns and when he takes you home. We have been visiting friends, and Brother Jeff, you say Brother Clinton's mom passed away. That's true, yesterday. And we have an auntie at GMH who is dying. We went and prayed with her. And sometimes we wait and think we will be dying when we die. But no, there's accidents, things happen all the time. And that's why we need to be close to the Lord every single day. And let me ask you, or challenge you, if you have a problem with someone, maybe it's better you solve that today. Because God is inside you. If you have God inside you, it's better to make sure things are right. Okay? That's your challenge. It's my challenge. These are my challenges. That's what I'm telling you too. Okay. So remember that. If you walk with God faithfully, you will experience God in a clear and powerful way. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for being our God. Thank you that we can call you Abba. And we thank you that we can be called your children. And because of that, we have the privilege to be guided by the most powerful God, the only God that we have, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to do that in our homes, work, and the world around us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and we pray that you'll be with us and guide us in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen. Let's all rise as we go to for our benediction. And then the last song, Francis will guide us in song 656, Take Time to Be Holy. Okay? May God guide you, deliver you, protect you, and may his glory shine upon you now and forever. Amen. May God guide you, deliver you, protect you, and may his glory shine upon you now and forever. Amen.